I'm Glenn Brooks. Eli's Precious. Enjoy it.
You're listening to KSJO, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and the entire Bay Area. A Universal Media Access station. For more information, visit U923FM.com today.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks with the Vibrant Living team. Do you have a suspicion that your life could be a lot bigger, brighter, and more connected? Do you think, you know, I want to do something in a different way and take the path of action to a prosperous life? If you've had it with living a life of separation, overwhelm, and fear, join us for Vibrant Living for the more abundant, creative, conscious life, Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 92.3 FM, KSJO. I'm Glenn Brooks. Eli's Precious. Enjoy it.
You bring your best intention, baby. I bring a bottle of wine. We'll sit here by the fire.
Good morning. I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you this morning. You know, everything starts with a story, a different way of seeing something, maybe a question. Very early on, you know, before things were, well, I was going to say things always had brands, right? You know, we didn't think about it. There was Hush Puppies. There was M&M's. These are brands. People would gravitate to them. And, you know, bands involved with, would get involved with things they liked. Well, many years ago, I was sitting in a car, and it turned out to be a four-cylinder car, which is interesting to me, a car that my friend would drive back and forth to New York City. And it was something about this car, the way it drove, the way it looked. I guess it was the first kind of green car. It intrigued me that it had four cylinders, and it was a Saab. And I got really interested in who made these cars, the people that drove these cars. And probably 10 years later, I came across a website called Saabnet, www.saabnet.com. And I realized there were other people like me that weren't really searching so much for a brand, maybe a non-brand, if you will, something that, and you see this with a lot of people own these cars, they seem to be interested in a different kind of lifestyle. They seem to be very educated, but not particularly buying a specific brand. And I just got really intrigued on a number of levels. And I thought I would do a regular series of shows kind of around the people, the culture of Saab. And I have Scott Patterson with us, who actually started Saabnet, and Saab Lover, and also a site that, interestingly enough, has tremendous goodwill. I mean, one of the interesting things about this site or community of people is the goodwill and sharing. And it's unique. And Scott, I want to welcome you to Creative Journeys this morning, Creative Travel. Appreciate what you're doing, and I'm really honored to have you on this kind of unique show, because what I've done today, I put a cast of characters together. The owner, Ed Curry, who I first shared with his idea, his enthusiasm led to about 6 hours of conversation about why he's driven this car for about 25 years, what his experience is, and that's been a lot of fun. He was excited about the idea. He turned me on to Dennis, who's known as the Saab Doc in Kansas City. And people drive hundreds of miles to see Dennis, him and Dr. Morris, the cat over in the... He's known as the Saab, cave-dwelling Saab mechanic. He'll be with us in a few moments to talk about how to find one of these unusual beasts now that they're not made anymore. And we're also talking to Travis from Orange Global Logistics. He actually helps people transport cars. I put a little team around this, Scott, and I thought within the... within this, people could learn a few things and also kind of look into a culture of people. And I was rudely reminded yesterday that some people don't like Saabs. And then some people are ecstatic. It's kind of an interesting thing. Welcome.
Thanks, Glenn. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you, Scott. So how did your journey start? Were you, you know, I don't know, I think you've been, how long has Saabnet been on the internet? Is it 20 years now?
I actually started it as a mailing list in 1988 on the internet.
Incredible. So what moved you to do that?
Well, I had purchased my first Saab, and it had an issue with the water pump, so I went on the internet to see if I could find some information, and there was really only one news group, and I posted a question, and a lot of people gave me quite a bit of criticism for having purchased the Saab.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
what was that criticism?
Thought,
what was that criticism like? What did people say to you?
I'll tell you, it was all the same. It was, you should have bought a Ford. You should have bought a BMW. You should have bought an Audi.
Wow, that is so funny.
Yeah.
The attitude was present even back in the heyday.
Oh yeah, totally.
Interesting.
So I thought, you know, it would probably be a better idea if we had a mailing list that was just for Saab owners to discuss their problems.
I love it. So it says on the website here, it's fascinating, under your why advertising on Saab, that you talk about. By the way, I do want to thank Melonsol. Melonsol became our first underwriter, and Melonsol makes a non-toxic, antioxidant-rich skincare line, including sun protection and moisturizer. You get free samples today at www.puresunscreen.com, www.puresunscreen.com. So it says here, this is fascinating. Saab owners are great people, which I agree. Most Saab owners have advanced degrees, have advanced degrees more than any other car-owning group. And yeah. It also says the Boston Globe found that Saab drivers average the fastest speeds on the mass highways. A lot of interesting contradictions here, huh? Like kind of an interesting group of people. And the anti-Saab people are very clear. Don't buy them. Stay away from their trouble. And yet the people who are into it, we're just head over heels into it.
Yeah, and you find that with the people that visit the Saabnet website. They are incredibly loyal to the brand, and they just love driving their cars.
Mm. I know one of your people, Walter, from I think it's The Right Solution in L.A., he's driving from Los Angeles. I think this is a Saab that was featured in the movie, if I got it correctly. He's driving all the way from L.A. to Albany, New York, to be at the Saab convention. And when Saab went out of business, he's actually custom-making parts for Saabs. So I guess he represents a network of mechanics that, and when I spoke to the Saab doc yesterday, I said, what are your people buying now? They don't make Saabs. He goes, they're not. He goes, they are just buying Saabs, and I'm restoring them. So I guess you could say that's core loyalty, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, there are very good mechanics all over the country that specialize in Saabs and have for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that difficult to get a Saab and to restore it and have a great car to drive.
How, by the way, do we have Dennis, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great, great, great. I'm so happy you're here. You know, the Saab doc's with us. He's known as the cave-dwelling mechanic there in Kansas City. He has people driving hundreds of miles to see him. You know, I was going to say that one of the things that Ed mentioned to me about you, Dennis, which is common of some of these, this group of mechanics that's so dedicated, is an example. I think a fuel pump goes for about $400, between $400 and $500. These niche Saab mechanics seem to know the little tricks of the trade. So when you hear other people say, well, Saab's so expensive to own, Ed was telling me, as an example with you, Dennis, you did a fix that was about $125. You didn't need to replace the whole thing. You knew you could replace a part, which I thought was real interesting.
Yeah, you know, you can save a lot of money that way. And, you know, dealers and such, they have to sell you the whole thing.
Right.
And we just, you know, can buy the part that's actually failed, and it's brand new. We just install it in the unit.
How long have you been aware of Saabnet?
Probably about 5-10 years.
5-10 years. Because me and Scott are saying, do you find to be true? What do you find about people? You're one of them. What draw you into this unique culture of people? How did you get involved?
Well, basically, it was just a job back in the day in 1982, mm-hmm. when I started working on Saabs.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just got to driving them and liking them, and everybody that drives them loves them.
You know, I'd be someplace. I'll give you an example. I was up at a place called Top Notch. I also give away vacations. I'm known in some circles as the man, the journalist who gets paid to go on vacation. I was at Top Notch, and I was doing a story about their spa, and I was at dinner. And, you know, up around that area, northern Vermont, there's moose. Same thing with New Hampshire. And the idea is a moose, if you hit a moose, a lot of times people have died because the moose crushes the hood. Well, someone said to me, I think it was the waiter, said to me, well, that's not true of a Saab. They actually had a reindeer, some big deer killed someone at Saab, and they dedicated themselves to getting this structure. This safety has always been inherent in Saabs. Kind of, it's almost like you feel like there's a human, I don't know. There's something about Saabs that makes you feel like there's a caring, there's a, you know, a philosophy that seems different than what most cars. Did that come across to you, or does it still come across?
Yeah, I mean, safety is, you know, was the number one issue on them Saabs. They were the safest car for a long time, and they just, when they're designed, they're solid as a rock. They're just really good. I've seen lots of incidents where they've been in wrecks, and you know, everybody, the doors open up, and the people get out. You know,
yeah,
no big deal.
What would you say to someone? I mean, what's kind of great is if you go to Saabnet.com, you could find cars all over the country. And what a lot of people know is if you're on the Northeast, the cars get pretty rusty. But as an example, you could get a car from Florida, Arizona, and Scott's site, you know, and to this day, I love it. A lot of people, when they list on this site, they actually tell you what's a concern about a car. There's like a code of honor going on Saabnet that I love. What would you say about buying a used Saab now that they're not making them anymore? Any consumer tips?
Well, I mean, Craigslist and stuff like that is a great place to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to basically drive them and make sure they sound good.
And, you said to me that maybe it's a good idea to also have the oil pan dropped and have the filter cleaned.
Right. That's one of the main things. You know, if it sounds good when you buy it, the next step is to get that pan pulled and make sure that it's got plenty of good clean oil going through it. So that's the heart of anything.
Now, one of the things I found, and again, it's a human interest story, when I heard about your... I called you the cave-dwelling Saab mechanic. So you're in a cave.
Right.
How did you find the... I heard is it maintained that was it 65, 70-degree weather year-round?
Yep. Yeah, it was about a 100-degree day, and we were dying in a metal building, and we're just thinking, boy, it should be nice to have someplace cool to work.
Yeah. So how many people come to you from, you told me, from hundreds of miles away?
Yeah, they come from Iowa, up in Des Moines, Nebraska, Dodge City, Kansas, you know, Arkansas,
great.
All over.
Great. You know, I found Scott and Dennis, I found that there was, I don't know, I found that these Saab mechanics themselves very interesting. I go to two people. I go to a guy in Armenia, New York, and he has about 30 used Saabs. He runs his Saab. He's a mechanic out of his house. He has about 30 Saabs on the property. People come to him from several states. He's incredibly inexpensive, and I don't know. He's like, it's almost like I joke to him all the time. He's like, it's the Ministry of Saab. Like, people come there with this certain trust. He often almost gives away some of used parts. He's and similar to another guy named Kristen up in Vermont. So it's kind of like, it just seems, Scott, that I don't know, they're mechanics, but they seem to have it kind of reflective of this non-brand culture of people. What's your take on that? What do you think? What about the mindset of these, the both mechanics and the people?
They're like the drivers. They're very different from other mechanics. They're very
mm-hmm.
personal.
Mm-hmm.
They care about the cars. I had a mechanic in Mountain View, California, Laszlo, Czechoslovakian guy.
Yeah.
Who handled Saabs. And when I brought my 1985 900 from the East Coast to the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
he took one look at it and he told me that the sole of my Saab was dirty.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't uncommon. I had a couple times where my Saab was dead in my driveway. He would come over to my house and facilitate a repair.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, I know in Connecticut there was a guy known as the Saab Wizard, and there was a Saab Jedi. It was all like little legends about how they would come out and drive to your house. I mean, kind of more common than not. And because, you know, I always love asking people. I love what Dennis said to me, the Saab doc. I said, well, where are the people going now that Saab, they don't make them anymore? We're your customers. And he said, they're not. They're just restoring them. And I think that, and then I think I mentioned Walter from The Right Solution. He's actually making parts. So it seems to be, in spite of or beyond what the manufacturer, it seems like, you know, we still, like, I'm real excited about Ed's car. Right now, as we speak, the Saab doc, Dennis, is actually making my car purr. So before it gets on the auto transport with Orange Global Logistics, we'll have Travis with us in a minute, it's going to be all tuned up, and I feel great. I kind of feel it's at the the church of Saab there, and one of the high ministers, priests, is taking care of it. Yeah, because often I don't know, Scott and Dennis, what you would say, but I want to say that what I hear, I was talking to Ed about this the other day, is that when you bring a Saab to a regular mechanic, or I don't know, if you're silly enough to go to some, like a Jiffy Lube or whatever, a lot of times they just don't seem to have a clue. What's your comment, Scott? Regular mechanics working on Saab? What's your take?
It's not a car that they have generally seen, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while it has the basics of a regular engine, it's still quite different, and they're not going to care about it as much as someone who has time invested with the brand and someone who knows the drivers and how much they care about their cars, how much they enjoy driving their cars, and how they want to keep them for a long time. It's not uncommon for Saabs to go 300,000 miles.
Yeah.
So someone who doesn't have experience with the brand doesn't know those little details and how important the car is to the owner.
What would you say, Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I treat everybody pretty much like their family or friends. I just make sure that they're going to have the ride's going to get them where they need to go. When I look at the oil change and stuff, you know, I always peek around and make sure everything looks good.
I had that feeling when Ed first told me about you that I was so enthused you were there. Because when I've looked around, I've looked for someone just like you. I looked for someone who was like a local friend who was basically a Saab lover, Saab connoisseur, and they knew the little things. They knew where that, you know, bolt went. They knew when they dropped the pin, this little thing there. They knew about the models. They had taken notes. And so why don't you go ahead and give your website? Because when they go to your website, they could do what I do, which is have my car serviced by you from several hundreds of miles away, and they could learn from you. And they could also see a picture of Dr. Morris.
Yep.
So what's your website, Dennis?
It's SaabDoc.com.
I'm so happy my car is with the Saab Doc. Thank you very much. Is there anything you want to add that hasn't been discussed? You wanted to send a message out to the Saab owners worldwide? What would be the message?
Well, I mean, most of my Saab customers, like, they have been selling for years and years, and they just keep buying them. Another famous guy that buys cars all the time is my buddy Max Brooms, your dad's singer, and he just keeps buying them. Every time one goes down, he buys another one.
That's just great. Hey, thanks very much, Saab Doc. Thanks, Dennis.
All right, thanks, guys.
My best.
Your second.
So, Scott, what would you, I don't know. I guess the culture of people. You know, I find that even when I. By the way, I want to say in terms of selling a car, I've only bought my Saabs. I probably get only from Saabnet, and I find that I know the New York Times did an article recently where Saabnet was mentioned, and there was something I mentioned of scammers. But my personal experience, when I call other people on Saabnet, I just find like we're just friends really quick. Like it just seems. There's not one person that I've called on Saab to buy my many Saabs that has ever been anything less than incredibly honest. I mean, even if you look at the ads, I mean, they'll say, oh, yeah, the left wheel, it vibrates when I go 52, and it's like, I love that. What's your take on that?
Well, what I find with people who advertise and classify on Saab is that they'd like to have their car go to another person who's going to take care of their Saab.
Yep.
And I think the best way that they can achieve that is to be quite honest about the condition of the car so that the person who gets it knows what they're dealing with, knows what might have to be repaired, and they can appreciate the car. They don't have buyer's remorse to find out things are wrong with it that they didn't know were wrong with it. And they go into it with their eyes open, and they look forward to the purchase once they decide to get one of the cars off of the classifieds.
I saw Ed Curry's ad there in Kansas City. He's owned many a Saab. And it was like, I loved it, Scott, because he was the original owner. And so he pretty much, you know, the day he bought the Saab to the day that Saab replaced the engine at 50,000 miles with a new engine because of a sludge concern. He actually told me, he's mailing me the letters. There's a big box in the back of my Saab with all the records, every interaction, every letter he's had back and forth with Saab. Now, one of the things, and Dennis mentioned this, the Saab Doc, safety. Well, I want to say that I've heard more people talk about that, you know, at 3 in the morning when they hit a telephone pole at 60 miles an hour, someone's kid, the car rolled. I mean, every story that I've heard, the people walked away. And I thought to myself, gee, why would you want your kid, a family member, driving anything else but that? That certainly was, from 20 years ago, it was kind of like they made, whoever made this car, it seemed they were just thinking differently. They were thinking differently about what a car is, how it drives. What's your take on that part of it, the safety, the how the car comes together?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great example is putting your kids in a car that you know if something happens, you know, they're going to be safe. They're not going to perish in an accident.
Yeah.
And Saabs are pretty much the safest cars on the road. There's even a section on the Saabs.net website called Saabs Save Lives.
Oh,
and it's stories about people who have been in accidents, and the car is designed specifically to give itself up in order to save the occupants of the car. So there are crumple zones that go up until the passenger cabin, and then it doesn't crumple anymore. But it absorbs and dissipates the energy of a collision in order to keep the occupant safe.
You know, Scott, I mean, one of the things that's been so, and I think about this culture of people, I don't know, it's very different. I mean, you know, I could see Audi's running these ads that were kind of, they're kind of funny. They're kind of saying that basically people who drive BMWs and Mercedes are kind of fat dentists. You know, they're kind of poking fun at the culture of people who are just so brand addicted that they have to have one to feel good about themselves. So they're trying to get into, and I realize Saab never really went out of its way to say that. You know, that it almost like it didn't need to, because it seemed like people who wanted Saabs, especially, you know, back when they first came around, they were just, I don't know, they seemed to be thinking differently. Now, you know, I assist people who want to write books. I work with people who want to speak. I work with people who want to light up their creativity. And I work with people all over the world. And what I find is I often work with people who have maverick or iconoclast kind of mindset. They kind of have their soul in what they do. And I realized when I first was thinking about the story, Scott, I realized there's also the story, having known you for about 15 years, I want to say that building a team with you and Ed, the gentleman who I'm buying the car, buying the car from, Travis, who owns, he's so excited, Travis. He wants to get a picture of a Saab on his website, Scott. He wants to get a picture on Orange Global Logistics and mention Saab. Now, these guys, now, are you there, Travis?
I'm here.
Well,
can you guys hear me loud and clear?
Very loud and clear. I want to say to you that one of the things I'm excited about, and I think this is applicable to people that are buying a used Saab, is for a lot of people who are into this car, into this thing, there's certain models, like there's an SPG39, Special Performance Group, or there's an Arrow, and like people are so, like, I don't know, they study. Do you find this, Scott? They seem to know the year and the day. I mean, people say things all the time. Like, I didn't, like, my car is the Gary Fisher. So when you bought this car in 2000, you got a mountain bike with the car. See, I didn't know that. It just seems like there's some people that are so into it. It's kind of fun. And they love relating it. So I was thinking, Travis, that it'd be interesting to talk to people about, because you have the ratings you have are off the charts. You know, you have very good ratings. I had a real good interaction with you. You were a team member from the get-go. The truth is, I had one conversation with you, and I knew I was at home. I knew this was going to be the auto transport for my people here. So, as an example, I'm getting this car from Ed Curry from Kansas City. I had the honor of connecting with, you know, the Saab doc, and, you know, Scott's been fabulous. But here you show up, and I'm just thinking a lot of people, I don't know what percentage it would be. I'm thinking they may not feel comfortable, you know, transporting a car. They probably have all kinds of concerns. You told me some great stories, by the way. You might want to share a couple with the audience. But what's the upside? I mean, I see the upside would be that you could find a car, well, let's say no rust from Florida, and ship it to, you know, Vermont. What's some guidelines for you? Since you have all these great reviews, what would you want to share with people about having a good experience or great experience getting a car transported?
Well, first of all, I would just make sure, you know, what you're buying is what you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has been incidents, you know, a car's, you know, been taken to its destination, and it's not the car that they actually purchased. So just be very careful that, you know, the person you're purchasing the car from is the person who owns the car, and it's the actual car. But, you know, just, and also, you know, like with us, you know, when we ship our vehicles, everything's fully insured. There's no deductible to you. You know, what we do is we always give you, like, a number, which is the driver's number, to track vehicles, your track your vehicle, you know, from point A to point B.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to sound like a fanatic here, but it's funny is when I've dealt with Saabnet, I've only had this experience that people are just forthcoming and very honest. You know what I mean? It's never been that any time I got a car from Saabnet, that the car was the exact car they told me it was. So what you're saying, I guess in the bigger population,
well,
car selling.
Yeah, I'm talking more or less, you know, private party.
That's
one of the biggest. There's some, you know, there's a lot of stories out there. Mm-hmm. And some people have a lot of people that I talk to on the phone have a fear of shipping. And the reason why, there is some more stories out there, and I think there's a lot of scare tactics. But, you know, reputable companies like Saabnet, you know, and other companies that have been around, that is probably your best place to search for your vehicle.
So, you were saying the business in the old days would take, you know, credit cards, and you were just saying that I guess maybe there was more trust or more... you know, people seem to, what's changed in your business?
Well, you know what, I think that there is scammers out there that will take your money and
talk about that. You know, I want to say one of the things I love about Scott is, Scott from the get-go, as I recall, he always was warning us that we were going to get these letters, and he would post them on Saabnet. How would you advise people to prevent scammers from your experience? You're right, because I'm sure some people could write up ads and it could be totally deceptive.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, if you're talking about shipping a vehicle, first thing is don't give money up front.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that whoever you're speaking with, like us, will give you the exact pickup date, and then we'll give you an estimated delivery date, and then we'll take your credit card to take just a small fee, and usually that's around $100, and that will secure you to the truck.
That's great.
We will also, you know, make sure that the company that, you know, you're going with is can provide insurance, you know, for the driver, and that could also, you know, we will provide that up front before we even do a deposit for peace of mind.
Scott, what would you say? You've through the years, have... You've been a consumer advocate for the people on Saabnet. Well, what's your advice to people around scamming and getting a car that, you know, getting the car they say it is?
You know, getting the car that they say that it is usually not really the problem.
I was going to say, what is the problem?
The problem is that when you go to sell a car, and this could be on Craigslist or on Saabnet or really anywhere, is you're going to get scammers who contact you, and typically the way they try to scam you is they say that they have a third-party check that is in excess of the amount of the cost of the car, and they'll send you that check, and can you send them back the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is that check, you'll go ahead and deposit it, and it takes about 10 days for it to come back as a counterfeit check. But if you've sent them back the difference within those 10 days, you've lost that difference. I've collected about $60,000 worth of counterfeit checks just to post on the website as examples for people to see. But that's typically the only way that people really can scam you. There's one other way where they send you a fake email and try to convince you that they've made a payment to your PayPal account. Mm-hmm. But when you go into your PayPal account, there's no record of any payment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of being aware of and taking simple precautions. If things seem too good to be true, as they always say, it probably is.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you. I remember reading that. So, is that a scam that has died out, or is still strong as ever?
No, it's really.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's, it doesn't really happen very much anymore.
Okay.
The one I'm seeing currently, occasionally, in fact, I saw one just today, is the PayPal scam. And when I notice that, I keep logs of people mailing different classified users just so that I can notify people that they've received a scam email and to just ignore that particular person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting for you guys listening, for the Saab culture listening, the Saab enthusiasts. I'd love to get emails from you or calls, because I just want to see where we're going, who we are, what what's pertinent to us. Because what I've seen, Travis and Scott, is some people have owned up to like 15, a lot of Saabs. It's like they really have this loyalty, and be curious to see your thoughts, because I also do a lot of stuff on travel. And because I work with people as a coach, kind of around creativity, you just be curious to see your thoughts about this program, how it's moving you, what topics like you'd like to see brought up. You could reach me at Glenn, GLENN .vibrantliving@gmail.com. Glenn, GLENN .vibrantliving@gmail.com. Your thoughts, your response, and if you want to underwrite the series, just like Melon Soul, and you get free samples of this wonderful non-toxic, antioxidant-rich product at PureSunscreen.com. PureSunscreen.com. A wonderful product. First underwriter for this Saab culture. It's kind of funny, Scott. I was thinking about this, that it's such an interesting mindset of people, and it's such an interesting phenomenon on so many levels. Is an example, when GM got involved, there were the loyalists who said that was it. They're quitting. They're not involved anymore. And then there was other people who said, well, it's a good thing. It seems like there's so many levels of these creative thinking people. Do you find Saab owners to be unusually, exploratory and kind of very intellectual about this topic of the car? Like, what would you say about them? They just seem to have this certain mentality of really being into their thing, really being into the history, what's happening now. Any comments about the people and how they see the company, where it's been, where it's going, that kind of thing?
Sure. In its heyday in the 80s and 90s, people were buying Saabs because they looked different than anything else on the road. They had a nice swoosh, that classic 900 had a nice swoosh, lean forward, aggressive stance to it. The car was billed as the most intelligent car on the road. That appealed to people who were well-educated, who thought extensively about the purchases that they were going to make, were concerned about safety, were concerned about performance, were concerned about gas mileage. Saab was the first to put a turbo in a mass-produced car, which helped considerably with mileage as well as performance. These were people who took in all of the data about the purchase that they were going to make and didn't want something that everybody else had. It mattered to them what they were driving on the road, and so they put in the time to get something that meant something to them.
And Travis is going to put a picture up on a Saab on Orange Global Logistics. So will you get him a picture, Scott? Would you get Travis a picture?
I sure will.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. We need an orange Saab.
You like the idea of an orange Saab, huh?
Yeah. you have one available.
Yeah. I was going to say, Travis. Oh, well, Mike, here I am. I'm doing the show live remote, so actually people are hearing us live in San Francisco. I've done this for many years. I actually used to be on in the Monterey area, Carmel, Santa Cruz, been on Atlanta. So I've always built communities. The next segment of the show I'm going to talk about, how do you build a community? One of the things I'll be doing starting next week is how I'm going to build and have a successful practice in Santa Barbara. Before I even get to Santa Barbara, I want to talk to you guys about the mentality of collaboration. I had the honor of talking to Jim Webb, Stu Webb. Stu Webb is known as the godfather of collaborative law. And one of the things he said to me was, he was a very successful lawyer, and he said to me, getting back to mindsets and cultures of people, is that he said that he was one of the most successful lawyers in his town, in his city. But he said he was dying as a human being. So he said that the basic premise of law is when you win, you lose. For him, he was getting very physically sick. And he's basically started a whole new model of law. And so basically building teams and collaborating allows you to go to a whole other level together. and moves us beyond this myth of the solo entrepreneur. I'll be getting into that. But clearly, with Travis and Ed from the buyer, he, by the way, the buyer, Ed, you know, we spoke about 6 hours about this car before anything else. We talked about six. He was so excited to tell me his experience with the Saab, how it, you know, his experience with Dennis. Travis, is, in terms of education for people, or educating about my car in Kansas City. So let's use me as an example. My car is sitting right now at the Saab Docks place there in Kansas City in the cave, and I'm entrusting you to pick it up and deliver it to my doorstep. How could I be a great client? Tell me what's going to happen. Educate the audience a little bit. Let them know what's been happening, what's the steps.
Well, here's the it's pretty simple. You know, basically you pick a date that works for you, and 90% of the time we'll have a truck out there to pick up your vehicle on the day you prefer, the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And we always ask if you can give yourself a small window for scheduling purposes, because these trucks, they don't wait around down the street. They come and go as, mm-hmm. you know, as they please.
Mm-hmm.
And your vehicle's available, they'll load your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is when we come out, we'll do an inspection. It's a 21-point inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And we always advise, have a clean car.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver can go around, just make sure the car is what it is. Protects you and also protects the driver. And this type of service that we provide is a door-to-door service. And what that means in this industry is that the driver will get as close as they possibly can without breaking any laws. And there's a lot of times there's weight restrictions or low trees.
Mm-hmm.
So you would meet at a very, you know, a close place to the house, shopping
yeah.
center, parking
yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
Once the driver comes out, the driver will make contact. They know that you have a schedule, and because remember, they're loading several cars, and these auto carriers are hauling sometimes 10 cars. Even there's 11 car carriers out there, so there's a lot of variables involved there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, once the driver comes out, picks up the car, you'll have the phone number, so you can be in contact with your driver throughout the process,
mm-hmm.
and. Delivery basically is the same thing. The driver's going to contact you a couple days before or about a day before he delivers,
mm-hmm.
and make arrangements to meet. There's going to be another inspection when the car is delivered just to compare apples to apples.
Mm.
And if everything's fine, then at that point, sign papers. You would give the difference of our deposit up front to the driver.
You said was about $100, you said.
Yeah, once it schedules, yeah, because we don't take anything at the time of booking, because we go out with the team and we to accommodate your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you're satisfied, then we would take about $100.
Mm-hmm.
And then delivery, certified funds, cash, cashier's check, or money order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. There's really not much more to it. It's fully
okay.
insured, no deductible to you. And
in today's economy, are more people buying used? Are more people transporting used cars rather than buying a new? Do you think it's impacted people's habits of buying?
Oh yeah, used cars. I mean, I'd say 95% of the cars that we ship right now are used cars.
Oh wow!
And
okay.
compared
okay.
to like a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
You know, we were shipping. It was probably, I would say. 25% were new cars. We still ship, you know, several, you know, mm-hmm. used cars, and because
mm-hmm.
we cater to more of that industry
mm-hmm.
versus the new. But
yeah.
a lot of dealerships, when the, you know, market, you know, tumbled,
yeah.
Went under. So we ship a lot of used cars.
Scott, what's your comment on that? Has things changed on Saab that in terms of more used cars? I mean, obviously you don't make the Saab anymore, but what's your comment about people buying used cars now?
Sales on Saab and classifieds are brisk. You'll see cars go in 24 hours. And quite often, they're going from coast to coast. People have no inhibition from purchasing.
Oh, really? So what you're saying was, so people have no reservations about auto transport?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know, they find the car that they want.
Mm-hmm.
They are happy to have that ship from California to Massachusetts. The thing I always suggest
mm-hmm.
to people is to have it checked out by a mechanic before, mm-hmm. you know, before they commit to doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times they're looking for a very particular model,
mm-hmm.
and when they find what they want, they don't care where it is.
That is really interesting. Okay, so territorial limitations, you know, just aren't a factor here. Just aren't a factor when you're... So let me ask you this, Scott. So, because we have the... I've said this to you before. Since you've cultivated, in terms of a model... Because, once I saw Southern, I looked at other sites. I looked at the BMW sites. I looked at the Audi sites. Now, I know there's quite a culture developing around the Mini Cooper. I haven't researched that much other than talk to people. And incredible loyalty there. That's like another niche of the community. But the way you went about Southern in terms of the amount of sharing and collaborating and open exchange, it's pretty unique. So it has... Is that something that you thought about bringing to other things? Like your mentality, is that something you intended from the beginning when you first said at the beginning of the program today that you wanted an environment where Saab owners could share our concerns with each other?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a self-feeding circle, so to speak, as people joined Saabnet and began sharing the information and knowledge that they had.
Yeah.
Saabnet built up a database of you know, problem solving, and the more problems that were solved on Saabnet, the more people came to see the information, and they began sharing their knowledge as well. So it just fed itself over time.
Travis, why don't you go ahead and give out your website and contact for people who want to, you know, start transporting this Saab?
Perfect. You can find us at shiporangeauto.com. That's ship orange, like the fruit, auto.com. And our phone number here is 800-941-6726. And if you go to the website, you can get a quote online. And you can give us a call. Call us whenever you'd like. It'll give you plenty of quotes.
Thanks, Travis. Glad the car's in your hands, and I will be in touch. Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You guys
take care.
Me too. Hey, listen, Scott, I told Walter I'd mention him today because Walter Wong from The Right Solution there in L.A., I want to say this, that, you know, sometimes on a weekend or something comes up, and I want to say I've called Walter over the last 10 years, and he's been incredibly generous, and often just by a description, he could tell me what's not only wrong with the car, a fix that he's come up with for the car. So sometimes as an example... I've been able to write my notes. He always says that you got a pen, by the way. So I write it down, and I bring it to my mechanic. That's when I called Dennis, and I said, Dennis, says the engine is leaking at the head. And he says, well, you should have a retorque. Now, a retorque is, you know, maybe 100, and getting a new head is like 1,000. So I just want to say that people like Dennis and Walter Wong at The Right Solution, who I know has been so loyal to you. I mean, I always feel like he's almost part of the website. He represents Saabnet to me because he's been with you so long. He's a very loyal client, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been one of my longest standing supporters and sponsors of the site.
Right.
And very appreciative. He because of his support, I mean, that's primarily how I'm able to keep the site online.
Really? That's just great. I mean, I could tell you that... I don't know if you've ever met him in person. Have you met Walter in person?
No, I have not. I've spoken to him on the phone many times.
Right, right. I just want to say he's just been, he has been terrific. I always say it's Glenn from Massachusetts, and he laughs, and he says, do you have a pen? And then we go from there. And I just want to say that's very, very uncommon. But then again, common for these, you know, these saw mechanics, I don't know what we want to call them, these soul-based saw mechanics, they'll come to the phone, and they'll often give you the solution or tell you how you could take care of it if possible. Very different from a lot of shops where you never get to speak to the mechanic. I mean, I tell you the truth, having a Scott or a Dennis or Dave Connor there in a meeting in New York, you kind of feel when it leaves the shop, they actually have paid attention. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening today, and I want to get your... now you're listening to this on Saabnet, and I'd love to get your feedback, what inspires you, what moves you. As I said, I do a lot of stuff on travel, and I actually give away vacations, and I just want to say the whole way, you know, I guess the people, the caring, the exchange of ideas. So, Scott, what's your vision of where SobNet will go. Like, what at night or when you're hanging out, do you ever think, well, where can I take SobNet now? Because I do have this, it seems, dedicated people with a car that hasn't been made, what, in a couple of years now? What's your vision?
Well, it's tough because, like you mentioned, they're not making Saabs anymore.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that the site sticks around and serves the loyal Saab owners that continue to cherish the brand and restore their cars and keep them running.
Mm-hmm.
So I take suggestions from the users on the site. The mm-hmm. most recent suggestion that I got was homemade tools help to keep the cars running. So I'm putting up a fact that lists tools that you can make on your own that serve specific purposes in repairing the cars.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So we've had, I've discussed this with you before, but just for the sake of today's conversation, is there any other car or mentality or mindset or kind of what I call a non-brand brand, like something that has a culture that is enticing and creative and intelligent and kind of allures these exceptionally smart people? Is there any other brand out there or not or company that you know you're saying, wow, this is who we're going to as Saab owners? Anything else out there?
Well, I mean, a question that comes up on SobNet somewhat regularly is if you can't find a Saab that you want, what brand would you go to? And really, the responses are all over the board, from Subaru to Audi to BMW.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one particular place where people are going.
Is it always a non American made brand? It is always the Japanese. Is it always a European or Japanese car?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't see a lot of certainly not GM cars.
Right,
not for stock owners. But really, there's no other car like Saab, you know, the Saab on the road. So
right.
It's tough for Saab owners to go somewhere else.
I am so enthused. I want to say my baby, the car I've been driving, the 9.3, I've had so much fun driving this car. I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking I'm going to miss certain parts of it. My daughter, you know, I feel it's going to be, when she comes to visit, I realize she's going to be able to drive my new Saab. It'll be an automatic. I'm going to go to an automatic. But I want to say these 5-speed Saabs, they deliver so much for 4 cylinders and really good gas mileage. And I'm still loving it. What would be your message? What's the message you've always wanted to, because now we have an opportunity to send a direct message to all the SaabNet community. What would you want to say to people? Anything that you've always wanted to say to your loyal?
First and foremost, I want to thank all the SaabNet users for making the site what it is and mm-hmm. allowing me to have a lot of fun working with the site all these years. And the second thing is these cars last a long time and they can go a lot of miles, so, you know, stick with them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott, I'm looking forward to hear the response. Have you on again. And I appreciate your putting it out there, by the way. If you go to SaabNet.com right now, you'll see there's a little notice about this, and it will be appearing on SaabNet.com, so you better let your friends know. And Scott, thanks very much for being on today.
Thanks, Glenn. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Did you?